Hello, everybody, and welcome to Show Hopper Severance, Season 1, Episode 7, Defiant Jazz. I'm Kurt, joined by my former high school teacher, Mr. Sal.
Kurt, I'm here, and I'm ready for my five-minute music dance experience.
Ooh, you're ready to get down with it, huh, Mr. Sal?
Oh,
what,
yeah.
What song do you want to pick?
I think you know which song I want to pick.
I actually don't know what. The Defiant Jazz, or is it a different one?
No. It's the song that we always used to play right before
we started recording. What is it?
Yes, you do. Right before we started recording to psych ourselves up, we always played the same song, Powered by Riverside. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, you are right. It's a funky
Why don't you hit me with just a few beats of that? Come on.
You want me to hit you with a few beats?
I want you to hit me. I want my music dance experience.
Powered by Riverside.
Yes. Oh yeah. There, I have had my music dance experience. Thank you.
We just did that to the listeners. I don't know if we'll keep that in, but hopefully you guys enjoy it. You know, we might enjoy talking about our ratings.
Ratings.
Mandatory minus one for Mr. Sam. Not enough Audis. Well, I should preface that. We don't get to see the Audi perspective again of the Indies that we know and love, barring Mark. So maximum, you're giving this a 9. That being said, I think this episode scratches a lot of itches for you. I mean, there's a lot of Showhopper's Right feelings going on here.
Wait, Showhopper's what?
Showhopper's was right.
Oh, okay. Right? Okay. When you said Showhopper's, I was immediately thinking you were going to go into the rules.
The rules?
Yes, don't talk about your dreams.
Oh, yes.
Kids on airplanes.
Those aren't rules. Those are like commandments.
Getting married to having kids to save a relationship. Commandments, yes.
So there's Devin thinking Gabby could have been severed. And then there's also Helly.
We did talk about exactly that.
Yeah, and then we also discussed Helly. Not Helly specifically, but the idea that it could perpetuate their own existence with the overtime contingency outside.
We did, yes, you're right.
So, that's some Shopper's Right vibes. I think you like that. Maybe you complain it's predictable. I think you gave it a 9, though. I think you gave it a 9.
Okay. I think you loved everything going on with Dylan, Irving, and Bert. As much as you love being right about Helly thinking they should take over their Audis, I think you were a little underwhelmed by Helly's story in this episode, and maybe even Mark's to a certain extent. So I think you loved everything else, so I think you gave it a 9 as well.
Just Sal, I gave it a 10.
I also gave it a 10.
Oh, but this didn't meet your criteria.
It did.
It did. Explain.
You didn't catch it?
No. What was it? Oh,
do you
no.
not know who that picture was at the end?
Picture.
The picture of Gemma at the end?
No. Who was
that? Do you not know who that was?
No. Who was that?
It was Miss Casey.
That is. Oh my goodness. So this, oh my God. No, I never recognized that.
Oh man. I was like, what?
That's Miss Casey a minute. At the end?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. No, I did not catch that.
I mean, I was 99% sure it was Miss Casey when I saw it. And I was like, I just got to look up quick Google search Gemma's photo severance. And everything that came up was that Ms. photo Casey. next to Miss Casey. I didn't read anything. I just looked at those photos. That's so I was fair. Like, oh man.
That's good to check. But no, all right. No, yeah. I mean, I remember the very end, you know, he's taping it together and they show the photo of it.
And as he's taping, he's like hiding the face with his thumb, so we can't see anything. And right. when he reveals that, I was like, "This has got to be somebody we know, right?" And I was like, "Oh my God, that's Miss Casey. That's nuts." I mean, the thoughts I started thinking then, I was like, wait a minute, how does this work? And so it was so exciting.
So then, oh my God. Well, now I'm excited. I didn't even realize that. I gave it a 10. And this goes on to another idea, how I forget if I or you brought it up, but the concept that perhaps someone is severed, but like they don't ever leave, or like they stop, they're severed of them on the severed floor, but then their other like memory, like basically they're going between existences and they don't have a personal life at all outside of work.
Right.
They
did call Miss Casey a part-time innie.
They did.
So I don't know what part-time innie means. Does it mean she only is an innie?
Well, I wonder if she's only counseling for part-time and then you have her go do other things. Like she does other jobs that she's not unaware of because she's severed in whatever way. And there was discussions. I think Petey says that there's people that are down there forever.
All the time.
Yeah. That lends itself to that. So, all right. Well, now that's an icing on top. This is the best episode, I think, so far.
It is the best episode. Oh, my God. I was so excited watching this.
So many levels.
Oh.
You're totally right. Mark and Helly both take way more of a backseat in this episode. Like,
they do.
Everything they do is a lot more plot-driven.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, right? It's still wonderful. And Dylan and Irving shine. Even Milchek.
Milchek is fantastic.
He's horrific. Oh my God.
Yeah. I tell you what, Milchek, I think, is an underrated character in this series. Like I say underrated as though I've talked to anybody else about this besides you. but everyone
underrates Milchek all the time. He adds so much to the atmosphere and the mood. And
oh,
like,
my God. Yeah.
His smile is so insincere, it feels like.
He was running the ship by himself in this episode for most of the episode, right?
Well, and it's worrying him in a way, right?
Yes, because Harmony's not there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. The Irving and Bert stuff I thought was great. I thought Dylan was amazing. He blew me away. That did not disappoint. I know we were excited about that last time. What's Dylan going to be like on the inside now that he knows he has a kid? Didn't disappoint at all. I thought Mark was awesome in this episode, actually. I loved seeing, it was like he had so many different moods in this episode, right? I mean, there's everything going on the inside, of course, where it's a relatively consistent mood. But not even that, because he's having fun at the music dance experience, but then he finds the card in his pocket, and then that shifts his mood, and then when he,
The bite of 76.
Yeah, the bite of 76. But then outside, he's got this traumatic experience of watching this person he doesn't really know, who claims to have put the implant in his head, kill this other guy who he definitely doesn't know, but who is alleged to be the security guard where he works. And then he parlays that into this, like, really just, what do you do when you get home to Alexa and she says, maybe I should leave? Because she definitely should, right? But how do you tell her that without totally alienating her, right? And then his drunken tirade with her at the end. I thought this was so good. I think there's nothing I disliked about this episode. I'm so excited to finish this series.
I wrote here that I'm galvanized that they've not shown us the other Audis yet, right? And I will this episode to me is a testament to that.
Recognize that they did in this episode.
They did. Well, I'll argue that we have not seen Gemma as an Audi. The way we see Gemma is almost the same way we see Dylan. I mean, now we know that she was with Mark, but I don't think that's what you were expecting when you were like the crossing. I guess it is, because you wanted.
No, it's not. I mean, kids. I thought that two people that were severed inside that we knew had a relationship, not necessarily a romantic relationship, but a significant relationship outside of work as outies.
That's true. I guess what I'm saying is I'm glad that they haven't. I mean, they probably could have told the story in still a pretty good way. But the fact that we haven't really seen Audi Dylan. Right? Look, we haven't gotten to know Audi Dylan, Audi Helly, Audi Irving. These characters, and even we don't know Audi Miss Casey or Audi Jamie that well. And I, honestly, I didn't know that when I was writing this. So take that as you will. But it helps you empathize a lot more with their perspective, right? If I had known them and I'm seeing this perspective, yes, I can still empathize with it, but I know the other side of it, right? Like, I know why Audi Dylan is keeping any Dylan in there, or like why he's done that. So it's harder for me to empathize as much with any Dylan. You know what I mean? I might understand still why he's doing that, but I'm not. Like, right now, I'm backing the Indies. Like, I get their cause right now. They're like, I'm all in on the bandwagon right now. Like
that's
Irving,
fair enough. Yeah.
Irving's getting destroyed. Like, he wants to burn this place down. Yeah, they want to break out of this joint.
Yeah, when you break Irving, then you've really broken something.
Yeah.
Like, that's because this was the biggest zealot in the group.
It is. But if I knew Audi Irving, I might go, oh, but don't get rid of it. Audi Irving, his.
Well, I still want to know what was going on with his dirty fingernails.
You're right.
Right? We don't know.
Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't. Maybe that's the season two thing. It's getting near the end of the season. Are they going to show us them on the outside? I don't know if they will. I said before it would bother me, but now after seeing this episode, I don't think it will. We might very well see them take over their Audis and not even see their actual Audis, if you know what I mean.
Well, we'll still get to see some of their life, though, if they do
we
that.
We would, like, but from their own perspective, which makes it all the better.
That's true. I kept thinking at the end of this episode, because I knew that, you know, Dylan was supposed to be flipping the switch, right? I think the plan was that he did that tonight.
I think he will be doing that, yes.
So, I mean, I kept thinking as Mark was, like, putting the photo together or fighting with Alexa, like, when he came back in, I was like, oh, no, if he flips the switch right now, he's not going to know. He's not going to learn anything about Mark. But now that the photo is back together, now he definitely would learn something about Mark.
So you think start next episode is going to be like Ocean's 11-esque Dylan flips the switch.
Yeah.
We see the three lives.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so.
Man, that's so exciting.
But with Mark, I was like, what's he going to learn about Mark? He's not going to learn anything about himself. He's got this like empty apartment with like nothing in it except alcohol. Like, I guess he learns that he's sad and an alcoholic. But now that he's taping this photo together and looking at it, like if the switch gets flipped right then, with Mark looking at this reassembled photo of Miss Casey, I mean, that could...
Maybe he'll think his daddy's just like a creep or something.
Well, how would he have a photo of her? Yeah. Right. So I think I'm fine with not seeing any more Audi interaction because they have this Mark, Gemma, Miss Casey thing now, which this is the thing I needed. I've got it. Like I got what I needed out of this. So if that's in fact Miss Casey, and I can't believe it's not.
No, I mean, the setup looks like it certainly would be a character. You're right. Like, just the way they introduced the photo, it's right at the very end. He's covering it. They reveal it.
And by the way, I don't want to harp on just that part of this episode. I love this episode. Like, everything about it. From Bert's retirement party to the music dad's experience to Dylan's attack to the plot to get the innies into the out. Like, all
we didn't
that.
Even talk about, like, I mean, we touched roughly on, like, Devin. Dylan's trauma.
Yes.
Devin's whole perspective on talking with Harmony. Audi Mark with what's her
Alexa,
name?
Yeah.
Not with Alexa.
From the beginning.
Gabi.
Yes.
Berving. Ooh.
Yep. Yeah, there's so much good stuff in this episode. I mean, really, this is 100% the best episode so far in my mind.
And so
it's reflected in the IMDb user.
I was gonna say, we talked about this last week, that 7.9. A lot of them are in like the mid seven, somewhere of that nature of the episode. Yeah. This one jumps up to an 8.8, next one 8.9, finale 9.7. So we are we're on the come up now.
Yeah.
And
9.7 is so high on IMDb.
It is.
That is so high. Oh my goodness.
It makes me very excited. I mean,
yeah.
Only two more episodes.
I know. Yeah, this is great. This is really great. I'm excited. I'm so glad that we're recording this right now because I just can't wait to watch the last two episodes.
Something I'll say real quick, just as a thought experiment, which is the idea of let's say they go through and they take over their Audi's life. Let's say they somehow do it permanently. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say that maybe that's how they end the season or what their end goal is, which would make sense. What happens then, in a way? Like, yes, you get to live your life, but I guess, would it be like an institutionalized prisoner that gets out after being in for so long? Like,
I feel like they'd be miserable.
Could they be miserable? The idea they're just not used to the world as it is outside because their whole consciousness and existence was being inside.
Now, I don't know what anybody else's life is like, but Mark is miserable on the outside.
Mark is miserable, but that's because of his dead wife, in a way.
Right.
So the innie Mark, does he carry that baggage?
I mean, everybody's going to be talking about it.
Yes, but he didn't really know her.
Until he sees Miss Casey's picture.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, didn't know her as Gemma.
Yeah, I know.
So,
I know.
You know, I'm more thinking of characters that have been around. So, like, Irving's, like, the seniority member or, like, person. So, we agreed, like, the biggest zealot of the group. So, like, maybe it is hard for him to readjust because, like, I could see it being harder for Irving to adjust to the outside world if they ever do come to that. So, it's just something I want to state out there of, like, being institutionalized, and that might, if they do break out completely ever, or even if it's only temporary, that maybe it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. All right.
What was it? What was the movie that I watched? Maybe it was a TV show where somebody got like out of a prison camp or a prison or like a hostage situation or kidnapping situation. And like when they got back, they couldn't sleep in a regular bed. They always slept on the floor.
Is that Shawshank Redemption?
Nah.
I don't remember if he slept on the floor.
I don't think it's Shawshank.
Though. Yeah, I'm thinking he slept on the floor.
I don't remember what it was, but man, that really hit me. I was like, dang, that is.
There's a lot of instances of that happening where people are in prison for a long time and it's just hard to readjust.
Yeah. Oh, was it The Leftovers? It was The Leftovers. It was someone coming out of the Guilty Remnant and trying to reintegrate with their family after being in the Guilty Remnant.
Is it who I would think?
It's a character that's only in one episode.
Oh, okay. Well, then I don't remember them.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it off the podcast if you want. But listeners, you might know if you've seen The Leftovers. Because I remember like there's someone who's like she and her husband are in therapy, like couples therapy about, you know, reconnecting with the family after coming out of the Guilty Remnant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he says, you know, she won't sleep in the bed. Like, anyway, it is an interesting scenario. I also want to point this out because I started thinking about places where they may have been dropping hints about Gemma being Miss Casey. You know, Mark passes Miss Casey in the break room hallway, mm-hmm. you know, and they kind of look at each other like, and there's no recognition, of course, but they're put in this tight, awkward situation where they have to kind of get past one another.
Yeah.
But then I remember Dylan saying, I wore this nice ass shirt, you know, to impress Miss Casey. What does it say? People love that will they, won't they vibe between me and Miss Casey. Right. So, but it's not him and Miss Casey. Like there's a connection between Mark and Miss Casey.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Mark is kind of
him and Helly
emotionally attached with Helly. Yeah.
Having an office man. During that Defiant Jazz, the musical dance experience. Who knows?
How good is Milchick in that scene?
Dude, he's killing it.
Oh, dude, first of all, good dancer.
He is. That's part of the horrific part, right? Like how
I know.
He's a master manipulator. That's
I know. So people like Harmony and Milchick are only outies, even when they're on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Gemma, or not Gemma, maybe Miss Casey is only an innie, even when she's on the outside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be the case. Or if she even gets to go to the outside.
Right. Maybe she doesn't even.
All right. Well, let's try to guess each other's favorite scenes.
Favorite scenes.
Man, there's a lot of good scenes in this.
Oh my god, I know. I had so much trouble picking this. Been a good way this time.
Yeah. You're right, yes, I totally agree. A very good
Not like in perpetuity where I was like, I don't even know what scene to pick.
Part of me wants to start gassing up this episode, but it's also again, this is according to IMDb, a little worse than next week's episode. Basically the same. And then trounced by the finale. So
users love plot, though. I'm sure that's going to be just plot heavy stuff. And
that's fine.
I love this might end up being my favorite episode because there's enough like plot pushing that really is exciting, but also just the character development with Mark and Dylan and Irving and Milchick. Just I don't know if you're going to do better than that, but we'll see.
Ooh, so you doubt?
I doubt.
All right, good. That's just room to impress you. Then that's fine.
It's true.
Give him the rope. Did you do the musical dance experience? You could have done Irving.
Where does the musical does the musical dance experience include the attack?
Yes.
Okay, Dylan's attacking Milchick. Okay.
The bigger question, does it include, because if that's the scene, they
meet up in the stock room or whatever.
But the transition's like mid-sentence.
Are you right?
Same thought. Would you consider that the same scene?
I don't think so. Okay. Okay. All right.
You don't have to. That's fine. I do not think that's
where would you end it then?
I would end it like right after I guess mission start, like right after they
when agree. They get he out shows, the door?
Yeah. Like when he goes, "Hey, I got Grainer's card," and then they cut to them back in their office and they're about to leave out the door.
So I ended it with Dylan saying they can wake us up. And then I called Dylan explaining what happens, another scene. But we better figure out which way this is going to go before we take too many guesses. How married are you to the idea of those being one scene versus two scenes?
Not very married.
Okay.
Maybe two separate scenes.
All right. I think they need to be two separate scenes.
All right. That's that's fine. You're like, that's too overpowered if they're the same scene. Like, that can't be, because then I gotta change my okay. I don't think that's your favorite scene.
Well, I mean, it's but like Milchick's gone, they're in a different setting. I don't know.
The thought's the exact like it's going like it when you listen to it. Like, if you close your eyes and listen to that scene, it does not seem like there's a scene change whatsoever.
I think there would be a commercial break there.
Oh well, we didn't have commercial break.
They can wake us up. I think they'd put a commercial break right there.
I don't live in that world, though. I don't think of that stuff anymore, Mr. Sell. That's an old time.
What if Jack hangs from a cliff and they go
a little cliffhanger? A lost reference, listeners. Check it out. Is that White Rabbit?
It's like the first Jack episode. It's like episode 5, yeah.
3 or something. Oh, man. Okay. Sorry. Going back. So I don't think it's that. Honestly, since you told me about the Miss Casey photo, I mean, I think it's got to be the ending sequence with Alexa. Did you consider that all the same scene with Alexa coming over, her leaving him, leaving in the car, and then him putting together the photo?
I'll tell you what I put for that scene, and then you can agree or disagree. But I put Mark back to drinking and reading up and scrolling, you know, about the Gons University stuff, and Alexa coming by. So yeah, right to the end from the time.
So you see, I counted as two different scenes.
Really?
So
hold on now. So where do you cut it? When she leaves and he goes back in?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'll go with your thing here, because I'm guessing for you, I think that's your favorite scene, that whole sequence.
All right. Well, so I think the music dance experience is your favorite scene.
Yeah, you did get me there.
Yeah, and you got me too.
we did each other in, by extending out at least to the other one, their scene.
But I will tell you, if you split the scenes the way you split them, so you split the last scene into two, and you combine the two music dance experience scenes, like I would probably be on the music dance experience as well.
Even if you combine,
that's overpowered.
What if we combine both?
Then I'm still going with my scene.
See, so it's not that overpowered. It's fine. Even if they're both combined, I think I still go with mine.
Okay.
Yours is a little jaw-dropping, but it's just like just the mood and like seeing the payoff on Dylan, really, right? Like it's 100%. So good. His confusion and just I could rewatch. I think I saw it like two or three times, the Milchick dancing. It's just so eerie.
It is.
And
the lighting. The lighting is half of it. It's so interesting. Yeah, you're right. There was a mood, and you could feel just the eruption about to happen with Dylan. Like, you could see him boiling over.
Milchick dancing behind him. Oh,
yeah.
Going a little bit more into it, it starts off with Irving trying to, soap label, trying to get an excuse to go to O&D. But they can't even leave,
Soap label, that's right. Why don't we have the soap label? It sounds like an O&D issue. I'm going to go there.
Dylan's really harsh. He's not very talkative. And then Milchick comes for the musical dance experience. Ellie basically had 75% refinement. So
73%, but they really need this.
We've all had a tough day.
Yeah.
Even Milchick.
A tough day. It's like first thing in the morning, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, whatever. I do like how he's thinking, like, what was tough for you?
Right, exactly.
Doesn't even answer.
Yeah.
And Helly chooses Defiant Jazz, and they all rock out, except for Dylan. Milchick is really into it. They're getting into it. And Milchick dances a little too close to Dylan. He gets bit for it. Even starts to bleed, deservedly so. And he's going to be reporting him, and the musical dance experience is canceled.
Music dance experience is canceled, by the way.
The Dylan tells the rest of the MDR about the overtime contingency and the fact he saw his son, right? That, how he feels about it. The concept that they can wake themselves up on the outside. And Mark reveals that he has Grainer's key card.
Yeah, you can count this as one scene if you want. If you're gonna let me count my end scene as one, then you can count this as one. I just didn't want to give away what mine was. So.
I just find it so funny that we both Bob ticks in both of our scenes.
I totally buy both arguments here. So
no, yeah, it makes definitely.
So keep going.
It ends with. Mark has Grainer's key card somehow. Is that what he put in his pocket? They don't know how.
Yeah.
And so, like, this made me think of what happened if it's kind of a MacGuffin. It would feel it's a MacGuffin for them. It's a real world MacGuffin for them, which is a funny thought to say. But what if, Irving had this?
Would he turn it in? He probably would turn it in, right?
He could potentially turn it in.
I don't know. There's a door there that's keeping Irving away from O&D. And if he suddenly has this mechanism to open that door, I don't even know if he'd turn it in.
Yeah, exactly. So I just wonder, it's an interesting MacGuffin. I like this.
I do too. Concept.
So
I like what Dylan is talking about his son. And they say, I think it's Irving says, that's not your son. And he's like, that's BS. He's my son too.
I talked about this last week. Yes, exactly.
He did.
I think it's a very really compelling, true argument. Because let's look at it from the son's perspective, right? Is that Innie Dylan, his dad? I think when you flip it, it's like, well, I guess not, right?
Well, I don't know.
Physically,
But that's half the battle, though. Like, he's physically, he is Dylan. It, I don't know.
I think emotionally Dylan is so much more important than
physical part. But if Dylan is willing to be his dad, I think he can explain, I'm having trouble with my memory. Daddy is sick.
I'm just lying to him.
No, it's not. It's not lying. He is having trouble with memory. He doesn't remember these things. He is, he's probably in a way.
Never forget it.
But you got to explain it in terms that a kid can understand. I don't know how old this kid is. Maybe five, four, maybe six at the most, I think. You are physically his dad. And if you want to be, if Dylan wants to be his dad, he can have this kid help him be his dad.
Okay. I don't disagree that he can become the kid's dad. Definitely. Mm-hmm. But is he currently his dad, right?
Well, if the kid sees him as his dad, if you put him in a lineup and say, who do you want to live with? He's going to go to Dylan.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, that's the physical nature of it. And that's, I get that's where confusion can lie. But mentally speaking, he has not been his dad.
No, you're right. But if he is willing to be, if he wants to be, he can train himself to be his dad.
I agree with that. Yeah. He can become his dad.
But now, if he's he's someone who's
I would say he has no he is not his dad. Like, he that is currently not his son. It could become his son, but like,
I think he's got a better claim to parenthood than anybody else other than the mom.
I certainly agree, or the
other dad.
You're definitely right. Yeah. You're 100% right. But I still don't think that claim's good enough.
So what's the kid gonna do if Annie Dillon takes over? You just put him in.
No. He can just go and become his. I think it's all about tense here, right? He can become his dad, right? He can work and get to know him, care for him, and all this other stuff, and truly become his dad. I 100% agree with that. But currently, can you really call him your son, right? Like, is he your son? That's what I'm trying to argue there, right? Like, obviously, physically, yes, it's born from him, but.
He
doesn't even know him at all emotionally, and he just knows that. I mean, we're presuming that he is his biological father, right? Mm-hmm. He just knows his Audi cares for him, but he does. I don't know. I would say he currently is not his father. Annie Dillon is not his dad right now.
If Annie Dillon is the only Dillon that exists on the outside, he's his father.
He could become his father. Yeah,
I think he is his father.
No, I disagree.
I do, because nobody else is.
Well, then you can have no father.
Well, that's true. But what if Dillon's a single dad?
Yeah. Well, okay. Now we get that's true. Yeah. That's true. And he would become his father, but currently, right now, not his father. That way, how about this? Is Dillon right now his father?
That's what
I'm saying.
Audi Dillon doesn't exist. No, so right now, yes, Dillon is his father.
No.
He is in loco parentis.
I disagree. No. Right now.
Who's his father then?
Audi Dillon.
There's no Audi Dillon right now. There's only any Dillon.
Yeah, but he'll be home by the time he gets. It's like, no. This is getting too semantical now.
We gotta stop using these terms, Audi and any, because, honestly, aggressive. Yeah, I find them so infantilizing. Anyway.
All right, okay.
It's a great scene. If I didn't have the emotional response I had to the last scene, I definitely would have picked this.
Jaw dropping the last scene now that you told me that.
Right. Ugh. But I really did. I had an emotional response to this scene too. But what was interesting about the last scene is not, forget about the fact that Gemma is probably Miss Casey. Mm-hmm. This whole time, I was so terrified that Dillon was going to flip the switch and Audi or any Mark was going to have no better idea about who Audi Mark was than he does on the inside. And that terrified me. Right? Cause really, he would wake up in an empty house, drunk,
alone,
and know nothing about himself. And I don't know how long they plan on staying in that state. But when Mark goes back, I mean, that is just so dissatisfying. You learn nothing. So now, at least the picture's put together, he can learn something. That's fine. But like, there's nobody else in the house. I've never noticed any like pictures or anything else in the house. So the scene starts with him drinking, of course, which is a regression, because in the last episode he had kind of scaled that back.
He refused to. Yep.
But here he's drinking and he's scrolling and reading up on Gans University. I'm assuming he's reading up on Gans University because he wants to see if there's any news about a body being found there.
Probably, yeah.
that would be my guess. But anyway, Alexa stops by to retrieve her phone, and Mark is just an absolute mess. He goes so far as to tear up this photo of Gemma.
And like, dude, go ahead. Like, I thought that was going to win Alexa over. But I was shocked.
No. Oh, when he did that, I was like, oh my God, she's going to rush. Like, I was
scared. That's like a red flag. That's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. I was scared for her. I mean, she said in the last episode, I think it's healthy that you're talking about her. So to see him ripping this photo up is the opposite of that. I know. That is unhealthy. So. And she's smart enough to recognize that he's not well. I mean, if I were Gemma, I would have been terrified, because you're in this drunk guy's house and he's like obviously making decisions that he would never make sober. So are you in any danger? I don't know. But Alexa's out of there and I don't blame her. Mark returns, though, and tapes the photo back together. And it certainly looks a lot like Miss Casey. I think it is. And I start having all these ideas like, what?
Whoa.
What? Go ahead.
Did Miss Casey ever sneeze?
I don't know why.
Because Mr. Sal, Gemma always sneezed twice.
Oh. I don't remember Miss Casey sneezing. I don't
know if she sneezed.
But I'd have to go back and check. I'm not sure.
Interesting, though.
That voiceover was cool, though. And she always sneezed twice. And yeah, she was extraordinary. All that stuff was great. That was emotional enough. But now I'm thinking, like, what happened? Did she like get in a car accident and then like have amnesia and Lumen just kind of took her? Is she a reanimated corpse?
Like, well, so my thought process is she got in a car accident near death. Lumen's like, all right, call him dead. We can fix him. And we'll throw him down in the severed wing.
Holy crap, Kurt, what if he knows? What if it was his decision to put her at Lumen? That's why he took this job.
Oh, like this was like the Fastian pact. Like we can save her.
Yeah.
We want her.
Well, that's, I mean, what if that's the only way to save her? Like her Audi consciousness, that's dead. Or you know, you can't recover it, brain dead. Mm-hmm. Like, but we can put this chip in her and it'll awaken this new consciousness in her. So she'll survive, but not like you know her. She won't remember physically anything. Be alive. Yeah, she won't remember any of this. And she's
So does Mark still have a wife then? All right, yeah, that's what I thought.
Hold on. Well, I want to get to that later, but like she's a kind of a shell even inside, right? She's like the most ethereal, like in like not quite human person down there. I was about
to say, she seems very AI, like robot.
Yes. So what if she's only surviving by virtue of the fact that she can have this other consciousness? And Mark, knowing that she's alive in there, leaves his job at the college so that he can take a job at Lumen and be with her, even though he can't be with her. That's why working for Lumen, that's why he never wants to reintegrate. That's why working for Lumen is something that he wanted to do and feels like he needs to do so that he can still be with his wife, even though he doesn't know it's her down there. Oof. Did I just figure this out? I mean, if I figured this out, then the series sucks.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. That's still really cool. I would.
That's pretty romantic.
Yeah. I think that I think I'm onto something here.
You very well could be.
And by the way, folks, I have not been spoiled on this series. I have no idea. I'm
now you're like defending yourself in case you're right. You're like, that was me, guys. I'm telling you.
I have no idea. I didn't even know what the series was about until you said we're gonna come.
Yeah, that was like a shocker. Normally,
So yeah, this is completely just off the cuff. I'm thinking out loud, and that's where I'm planting my flag, is that Mark made the decision in order to keep her alive to put her in Lumen on the severed floor. And as a result, he quit his job and works for Lumen so that he can be with her.
I'll go opposite of that. He's unaware of that she works on that floor.
I'm talking about Audi Mark now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then Mark thinks she's
dead.
So it's some kind of Lumen nefarious plot? Yeah, they take corpses and reanimate them or what?
No, they just she was going to like they said, hey, we can declare her dead, take her, because think about this, how are they ever going to get someone to permanently be in their facility and it not get reported, like, you know what I mean? Because someone in their life might notice and report them.
Now
that's an extremely hard thing to do, so the next best thing is take someone that we can get declared dead, then we take the corpse, but they're not a corpse, they did live, and then we keep them down there.
But why her?
It was just because she was in a car accident. She legitimately was in a car accident and was near death. No specific reason. She's just close enough.
Okay.
I mean, maybe there's a special reason I don't yet know, but like, I think that's reason enough. Just close enough to death that we picked her.
Okay.
Do you think?
Do you think we need a flashback episode?
No. I mean, I'd be cool, but no.
I don't think we need one, but I wouldn't be opposed to one, and I think there's a chance of it.
We might, but it's it might give away too much mystery.
That might,
but I mean, I'm not opposed to it, or at least flashback segment at the very least. Yeah,
I think we might get some flashback next episode.
I will could,
dude. If we get flashback next episode and the whole thing plays out the way I just said it was, like my severed clairvoyance is like off the charts.
What if it plays out the way I just said it would?
It's not going to.
Because I'm already right.
I just, now that I've said it, I can't see it playing out any other way. And
you're such a railroader. You're such a railroader. You see the story you want to see, and now you're like, man, if you're annoyed by this ending because it's not that story you want.
There's a good chance that's going to happen. It's not going to be my story, and then I'm going to be. So, but this is one of the things.
They should
this
call
is
you one of the reasons... conductor. You're laying down the rail. I guess the conductor does not lay down the rail.
No. But this is one it. Of the reasons why I prefer character-driven stuff to plot-driven stuff. Because with the plot-driven stuff, this type of thing happens where I've got the story in my head. This is the story I want them to tell. Mm-hmm. And if they don't tell it, I'm going to be disappointed. And if they do tell it, I'm going to be like, well, I figured that out a long time ago.
Yeah, so, the way I try to get around that is I try not to – I mean, I do still think of plot things. But mm-hmm. I guess I just – if there's a story I want them to tell, I just kind of go, can they still tell that? And if they can,
right.
I try not to get annoyed by it. And if they can't, I try to justify why they did it the way they did it.
Well, sure, yeah. And hopefully I'm a big enough person that I can do that when I turn out to be completely wrong.
Or you've got a spot on, Mr. Sal.
Well, I really think I have a spot on. And I'm like, I haven't felt this confident about a prediction since, like, Zoomer. I'll just say that.
All right. So if you're feeling so confident, you want to try to play some Who Said It?
I don't know if I'm feeling confident about that, but yeah, sure, we can play that game.
Who Said It?
It's the hit reality game show in which Mr. Sal has to guess three. Well, I'm going to give him three quotes, and you're going to have to guess who said it, to whom, and in what scene.
Yeah, okay. Are we playing with handlebars like last time, or are we playing?
I'm playing it the way I think you want to play it.
No, don't do that.
Based on last week's.
Well, okay. No, so not like last week.
Here's your first quote.
Okay.
I'm sorry I can't hear you.
That's much better. Because I don't know this, but I think I might be able to figure it out. I'm sorry I can't hear you. Oh.
Not a good sign that you didn't get it yet.
I know it's not. That's never a good sign because you're really good at, I don't know it right away. Let me walk through it and I'll figure it out. I either know it or I don't. And I do know a lot of them, but I don't always. So let's see. All right. I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
Wait, is my mic not working? Ha, got him.
What? Did you say something?
All right.
Kurt, you there?
All right.
No, I'm kidding. Let's see. I'm sorry. I can't hear you. It could be during the music. No, it can't be during the music dance experience because you already picked that as your favorite scene. So that's good. I can eliminate that scene. I don't think it's anything with Devin and Harmony. I don't think it is the first. I don't think it's the first scene on campus with the Grainer death. It sounds like something that could be on a phone. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Is it somebody say that on the phone? It's not ringing any bells. My immediate idea is that this is at the retirement party. Irving and Bert might be Bert, like Audi Bert in his video. Maybe he says that through the video to all the innies because they've left an indelible mark on his memory so that funny. He'll never remember again. So, I don't want to spend any more time on
remember you.
Yeah, I don't want to spend any more time on it. So I'll guess that Bert to the innies.
You fell for the bait, Mr. Sal. That's okay. What I thought you might do. That is sadly not it. It is Irving when he's going to become when he's renegating. When mission starts.
Yeah.
Him, Helly, Mark leave the room and he immediately goes renegade and goes for O&D. He has to check and see if Bert's okay. Sorry, I can't hear you. That's what he says.
I'm sorry, I can't hear
you. You can check it. He says, I'm sorry, I can't. He like gets past the corner and Mark's healing from me. He's like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. And he does. He says that.
I know he says, "I'm sorry, I have to check on Bert," but I don't remember him saying, "I'm sorry, I can't hear you."
Go back and look at it. He does say that.
All right, I'll have to take your word for it. This is like the first time ever where you've told me the quote and I wasn't
really.
Like, no, that's
not even making me question like, myself.
I mean, seriously, every other time that I've gotten it wrong, you've said it, and I'm like, "Oh, that sucks." Yeah, I remember that. I really don't remember him saying, "I can't hear you."
I thought it was comical. Now you're making me cry. The way he says that, he's like, "I'm sorry, I can't hear you."
I mean, that is funny. If that's what he said, then
I'm pretty confident.
Good for them. It's pretty funny. All right. Well, I can just tip my hat to you on that one because I just completely missed that one.
All right. Well,
I still don't remember it.
Okay. Well, moving on. See, this is who said it, where these are all made up quotes.
Now, wait a minute, though. Hold on a second. Yeah. Because is that not part of your favorite scene?
No, this is after Mission Star. This is them. So this is when they're out in the hallway. This is not part of my favorite scene. Once they're out in the hall, they open up, they're out in the hall. Irving immediately ditches them.
So is that the whole scene? Just Irving ditching them?
I included the. Because then we follow Mark and Harmony. Not Harmony, Mark and Helly. So I constituted the scene of them going to the security office, getting to the security office, finding their names, getting the control manual. They notice Harmony's coming down. So Helly grabs the page about overtime contingency and they head out. So there.
Okay. I could have sworn you said Mission Start was the end of your favorite scene, but
it is. But okay. Yeah. No, that
wait
is.
Wait a minute. Like, so,
but when I say end, I mean, sorry, it's like that's the next scene.
Okay.
Like, that's the next scene.
I think you got to be a little more clear about that next time. When
I apologize.
At the interface of your favorite scene.
I apologize. No, I meant like, once they leave that closet, that's the end of my favorite scene.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't remember it anyway, so I'm not going to give you too much of a hard time about it, but let's be a little more clear next time.
All right. Okay. Or if I don't, get you more off on who said it. But. It was close. It was close.
It wasn't close. That's close. The retirement party.
Yeah, but Bert, yeah. Irving's
guess the video.
And you okay. Said it about Bert. Really, you were right about this. Well, no, he's not saying it to Bert. It's about Bert.
Right.
Anyway, that aside, here's an easier one for you. That might make you feel a little better. It's okay. I'm a friend.
Okay. Before I go into this one, that quote, by the way, was a good quote. I don't love that it was at the interface of your favorite scene, but it was a good quote. If in fact he did say it. So this is
if he did actually say it though.
right. So now you're playing the game, I believe, the right way, mostly other than that interface nonsense. Anyway, it's okay, I'm a friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, I'm a friend. I don't know this off the top of my head, so we're going to have to kind of walk our way through here. It's okay, I'm a friend. I don't see that being the Devin Cabell stuff. Oh, is it Grainer to Mark? I think it's Grainer to Mark.
What scene?
And the first scene in college.
Darn, I was hoping I could get you at least a third of a point or something from that. All right. All right, no, you got that. Yeah,
all right.
That's it. You see, you walked your way through it.
I did walk my way into that one. That was
yes.
Good.
So we see Mark and Rigabi walking and talking, and we learn a lot about Rigabi here. So
yeah.
By the way, there was no previously on in this episode.
No at all. Need. Went
we right, right off.
Picked,
yeah.
picked right up through. Right up where they left off.
I
yeah.
think I talked about this on the podcast about how Rigabi might have worked before with them, but that's only because they did comment on.
Yeah, they mentioned it. They said it came from the inside. It's one of ours.
Right. That's why we knew.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Rigabi is the one that reintegrated PD. And apparently, allegedly, yeah, he would have been fine if he didn't just run away at the first sign of sickness. She put the chip in. She can take it out. She's also very pro Innie. You know, Innie Mark might want his freedom. You brought him into this world for your own convenience. I'm actually doing that, Mr. Sal.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing a being into this world for your own convenience.
You're implying that I've done that. Well, I don't know how that applies here.
Yeah, I was trying to make a through line to this and having a kid, but You could definitely argue the big differences between this and a kid.
There are lots of things you can say about parenthood. Convenient is not one of the adjectives I would use to describe it.
You are right. Congratulations, by the way.
No, thank you very
much. Except for the 10% kick-up. Once they adopt.
Okay.
Very quickly for reference, I think a workable pyramid scheme is all kids gave 10% right up to their parents. Kick it up. There you go. That'd be convenient. So when they're talking, Grainer comes in. Alexa sneak attacks him with a metal bat, killing him like ruthlessly.
Not Alexa, Rigavi.
Sorry, Rigavi. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, that would have been a big difference.
Let's not make Alexa a murderer.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Rigavi will take care of the body. No vomiting here, Mark. That's DNA. Here's Grainer's key card. And he will know what to do with it. Go home, get rid of your clothes. And Mark heads out and immediately vomits outside.
Yeah, you think that's Chekhov's vomit?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a showcase. The state of being he's in. I don't think they'll catch him with that vomit. If they catch him, it'll be for something else. Like, they'll just... Maybe a key card for something. You know what I mean? Like, they'll find Grainer's key card. Maybe the Chekhov's vomit, actually. Maybe they'll find and connect the dots with the...
I mean, he didn't really do anything wrong other than move the body, I guess.
And
But when you just watched...
Now.
I guess, but when you just watched this woman... kill this guy with a bat and she's still holding the bat and she says grab his arms, like, you're gonna grab his arms. I don't know,
that's I'd fair but now that he's in safety, you could report her.
That's true.
He's an accomplice now, as far as I'm concerned, and that is the second quote. 1 for 2. Can you get a majority score here?
Passing
final quote score. Which I think is the hardest quote out of the three. Maybe the first one was the hardest one, since
I already got it wrong.
Well, you already got it wrong, and even with me telling you it, you have no remembrance of it. So, final quote. Good job, buddy.
Oh, I remember this. Good job, buddy. Oh, I do remember this. Oh man, this is frustrating because I remember hearing this, and this is not my answer, but it could be Milchick to Bert. Very early in the episode when he kind of looks over Bert's shoulder and he's like, let's see if we can rustle up some extra incentive or some extra perks. And so it could be that part. It could be somebody talking to Dylan, I think. It wouldn't be Dylan, I don't think. But it could be somebody talking to Dylan. It could be Mark or Irving. It could be somebody talking to Irving. Good job, buddy. I'm going to go with Milchick to Bert in that scene where
when he's returning the card to Bert?
Yes, he's returning the card to Bert, yes.
I'll give you a third or half credit for that.
Really?
Well, the scene's wrong. The person saying it's wrong, but it is said to Bert.
Oh.
I don't know if you get a half or a third.
Okay.
But it is said to Bert. It's said by Bert to Bert during his retirement.
Oh, that's
it's
right.
That's what it
that's
was.
That's what I guessed for the first
I
one.
Know.
Oh my goodness. And this is 100%. I remember that's exactly what it was. I remember him saying that. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Good
then
job.
Come
buddy.
Full circle. Good job, buddy.
It was hilarious, actually.
Dude, the retirement video is so funny. It's like,
oh, yeah.
It's just so, he's like, imagine if someone sat you down and said, hey, for the last, like, I forget, I think he's working there for like almost a decade in hiring. You've been working in a place, you don't know anyone there. Right? You don't have any memory of it. You don't even know what you do. It's a retirement video for all of them to watch, including your innie self. Like, what are you even gonna say? Like this, like he's clearly just, you know, kind of going a little off the cuff. He's going,
oh yeah, it's funny. And then he checks his watch at the end.
Yeah,
is that long enough? Can I go now?
So, but yeah, I mean, we see OND's celebration of Bert's retirement, and Irving comes kind of like a sad puppy. Broken out. I mean, Bert's retiring. He's dying in a way. We see his touching video. And Irving, this is the most livid we've seen Irving, right? He is he's livid. Like, this is madness. Bert, you're basically dying. You smug, unsevered. I won't repeat what he says. Milchick. Saying he's just retiring. He's dying. And Bert requests that Irving can stay and
He won't say Granson. Anything else.
Yes, yeah. As long as he behaves, and that he shall. So we get a goodbye montage of Bert. And here's where you could argue scene change, but I think we'll agree with this since it's all within the montage of it. You know, what appears to be, unless there's any final sequence between the two for the time being,
mm-hmm.
Bert and Irving shake hands goodbye. Irving. Yep. Is this the end of Irving? It can't be.
I don't see how it's not.
Milchek returns Irving back to MDR. He looks distraught. Uh-huh. And once he returns, he's ready to burn this place to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
So I will, if Irving gets to be his outie,
yeah,
I think he will try to track down Bert immediately.
You might be right, but if, like,
but it'll be,
you gotta remember this. Yeah, that's not
exactly
Bert, he knows.
I know, but you know, yeah. I think he'll try.
Irving might have a whole family. This is, you know, the title of the next episode, right?
I have it here. What's for dinner?
Hey kids, so what's for dinner?
Of course you love that.
I do. I really do. I mean, maybe.
Could be for Dylan's kid. Who knows? But yeah, that's the third scene for Who Said It. So let's get right into the recap. We already talked about Mark and Rigabi's stuff, so there's that. Rigabi might just be a plot device, but she's interesting.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. We get the introduction. Mark gets home, strips down all his clothes, and Alexa comes and talks to him. She's been home alone for the last hour. He keeps trying to lie to her, almost gaslighting her, but it doesn't work. He's being weird, so he claims he went for a drive. This is kind of a big deal for him, and I guess Alexa should go. So she leaves. He takes out the trash early. Harmony notices, because normally he does it in the evenings.
Did she say, like, he'd do it in the early afternoon? I'm like, how does he take out the trash in the early afternoon? Isn't he?
No, I think she said, like, right now, early afternoon, he's doing the trash? Or?
No, it's morning right now,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well,
I thought she said you usually do it in the early afternoon, but
I forgot.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I forgot what time period she said. I just know it's a different one than right now.
All I know
it could
is
the weekend. Maybe they have garbage on, like I said.
That could be. All I know is that Jack Frost needs a dandruff shampoo.
Yes.
A new one. this is not the weekend, though, because doesn't he go to work?
No, but that's the oddity of his garbage takeout. It's not his normal schedule.
Okay.
He's taking it early in the morning.
Yeah. Okay. On a work day, on the weekend. I guess.
On the weekend, okay. Or whenever he normally does. Yeah.
Right.
So, who knows? Maybe Harmony's going to check that out, especially with the missing grainer. See that next
maybe.
Episode. Not the first time people have looked through Mark's trash, including Mark. We get to work. This Milchek sequence here, right?
I know.
Especially earlier in the episode, Milchek tests the new MDR door.
Nope.
Gets back Bert's card. I say Bert's, but OND's card that Dylan stole, gives it back to Bert. Oswald
says, "Good job, buddy."
Yeah, say good job, buddy. And they're preparing their final preparations. I don't know if that's to their retirement party or something else, but I don't think it's a retirement party, judging by Milchek saying he's got something special for Bert. Unless it's something mm-hmm. different than the retirement party. I don't know. Right? Or was that the video? I don't know.
I thought it might have been the video. I'm not sure. The watermelon party. Watermelon party.
Oh, yeah. And cantaloupes. You're right. Look at that.
Yeah.
Watermelon and cantaloupes.
Milchek, they love melons.
They do love their melons. Milchek welcomes Dylan upon his arrival down to the severed floor, walks him to his desk, and explains the overtime contingency. You weren't told of this because it's for emergency use only. Dylan would love to know more about his son. Like his name, but you probably don't want to know his name. And you probably shouldn't mention this to your colleagues. It's not going to do you any favors. And you know what, Dylan? Milchek can probably work out some new perks and incentives for you, though, for your good work here. And I mean, I know you especially highlighted the fact how that's what really Dylan relies on. And yeah, Milchek knows what he's doing. Manipulative set of a gun. He's appealing to a sense of incentives.
Exactly.
Stuff. We then see Milchick welcome and escort Mark to his office as per new protocol. Mm-hmm. He learns of the door. He comes in with his coworkers. It feels very unauthentic and fake environment right now, and Milchick gives him some black coffee from the hills of Rwanda. Straight from the hills of Rwanda.
Oh, yeah. They are not trapped. They are safely situated.
Yes, yes. And Milchick heads out and gives Harmony a call, leaves her a voicemail because she's not in, and Grainer didn't come in either. So what's going on?
By the way, isn't Mark supposed to be the first one in? Why is he the last one in?
They stagger their entries.
Yeah, I know, but he's the
maybe that's what? Like Mondays. He come maybe they come in at different times.
I don't know.
Okay. I have no idea. I don't Mondays. Know. Mondays he comes in first. Fridays he's in last.
Okay.
They stagger the releases. That up.
Yeah, yeah.
We get to see on the outside, meanwhile, why Harmony's not at work. Well, she's helping Eleanor latch better. And after helping Eleanor latch, they have some chit-chat. This is where Devin brings up the idea that maybe Gabby was severed. Harmony doesn't really entertain it that much. And then,
but I did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what I said last episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, spot on.
So this she's created this alternate conscious who's only conscious for childbirth. Existence.
I claim 50% of that idea still.
Yeah, I know you do. I know. That's fine. You can have 50%, but that's
51%?
No.
Darn.
49% if you want.
I'll take back a percent.
I'll take the 51.
Ever 51. No, it makes me wonder more instances. Yeah, I know. It's such a hilarious concept to me. The idea that your only existence is for pregnant labor.
Oh.
You're gone. They also talk about Mark a little bit, right? Like, why was he severed? Well, it was shortly after his wife died. And, this is really with Miss Casey here. He doesn't really... Harmony comments on the fact of how after her spouse passed...
Husband.
She kept seeing him all over the place. Does Mark ever say he sees her?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right?
Oh.
She's fishing.
She's fishing.
Oh, man.
Wow. Oh, man.
That's such a good episode.
This is great. Wow.
I thought she was just saying, like, trying to give chit-chat or
Me
something.
Me too.
Now she's fishing.
Wow. She's
fishing to know if, like, he in any way recognizes that he sees his wife down there. All right.
Wow. Oh.
All right. That aside, we get to my favorite scene at the MDR office. We see the whole dance experience. Dylan blows it up, and, it's time for them to do their mission and get to the security office. We then see Irving go rogue, but Mark and Ellie successfully get the goods from the security office. Mm-hmm. Harmony comes into work, and Natalie stops her on behalf of the board to notify her that Grainer is dead. And it looks like, you know, they're really going to put Harmony under the bus for this, but she kind of flips it back on the board that, hey, it probably happened to... The people that did it to Grainer are probably the same individuals that reintegrated Petey. And she has proof. And she'd like to show the board in person, not with Natalie, as a middle person, right? As a middle woman.
An intermediary.
No need for an intermediary. No need for you. You're useless, Ed. Useless she will be. Because they'll meet next week at the Egan Family Gala.
Mm.
And Natalie does seem like... It's funny. It's like,
sorry.
Natalie seems... Actually, like she seemed sad that they'll meet with
Helena. Oh, yeah.
You know, she's like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's just her whole purpose, it seems.
It is.
She's just the surrogate of the board. But if they don't need her, then job security, you know.
Job security and all. Irving gets the retirement party, and he sees it's watermelons and cantaloupes enjoyed by all.
Mm-hmm.
And we see MDR without Irving. So when Ellie and Mark return back, they're back in the closet about their security room findings. They have the instructions on how to do the overtime contingency. Dylan has memorized it, and he can do it. And he will.
He has the strength of two men.
He has the strength of two men, and he's going to try to do it for them so that way they can experience the outside world like he did momentarily. There is, a snag that two levers have to be held, but then we'll figure it out.
The door in between. That seems like, I just kept thinking of The Leftovers on the submarine, if you don't know what I'm talking about. The key turner.
Oh, okay. Yes. And then we've talked about the rest of the episode, which is just...
Yes.
Retirement party, and then the ending your favorite scene on the outside with...
Exactly.
Mark getting wasted and ripping up a photo, and then, oh, look at that. It's Miss Casey. Does he ever say he sees his wife?
Oh, my God.
It's really good. Really good episode. It makes me very excited for the next two episodes.
Me too.
It's like,
me too.
This is the lowest rated of the next three. This is the lowest rated.
This is going to be my favorite. I guarantee. Like, there's no way they're going to top this. I don't think there's any way they're going to top this.
All right. Well, listen, you can say that. Let's see.
Happy to eat my hat later, but for right now, that's what I'm saying.
Well, they'll give you the seasoning and all. Let us check the time. What time is it?
It's TV time.
Ain't no time like a TV time.
Kurt, I would be shocked if the users of TV time did not give this a 5. I think they had to give it a five. Oh, yeah. Boy, did they. 89%.
That's high.
That's very high.
What is 1%?
0.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Listen. There's 9% on 4 stars. So you got 98% between 4 and 5 stars. And the other 2% is on 3 stars.
Okay. Favorite characters are toughy for this one, in my opinion. I think the people said Mark.
But... I think the people said Mark as well. I think maybe I'm going to call an audible here. This is not what I have written down. I have written down that you said Irving, but I think I'm going to change it to Dylan for you.
Who would you have said? Man, what is that? You either said Dylan or Mark, I think. And I think you said, I'll go with the safe bet, Mark.
I did say Mark.
Typical.
Yeah, it is typical. Like the users said Mark at a 68% clip.
And you'll have to tell me this is not a votable character. I said Milchek.
No, Milchek is votable.
Milchek it is, then. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. Man, I was loving Milchek in this episode.
Yeah, he gets 2% of the vote as well.
Oh, cool.
Miss Casey gets 1% of the vote despite only being in a photo.
Oh, man, I'm very happy you told me about that photo in the end.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I already loved this episode as is.
I know, seriously, you must be over the moon now that you know about the photo.
I'm pretty hyped. Pretty hyped.
Oh, man.
Well, okay. Well, that aside, we love this episode. All right.
We do.
I mean, what story are they going to tell? It looks like it's a breakout story. And I don't really think we're going to be seeing the Audi's perspective on a lot of these matters. But rather, and I am curious if this will happen, if they just find a way to reverse the roles.
The Audi's on the inside? Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Oh, dear.
So, like, think about this. If you're the innies and you get on the out, well, I still want to make my living. Those Audis can be in there and work. They'll see how it's like. Right? They can have that experience. In a way, they've now become the monsters that they villainized before. Like, they hate.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Are they justified in doing that? That's up to interpretation, right? But.
Yeah. Well, interesting. I do think that we're going to have a lot more focus on Mark and Miss Casey, but.
I think you're right, too. Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyway, it's awesome. I will tell you, as far as my ratings go from here on out, the prerequisites are no more. They have
shattered.
The prerequisites.
The minus one point quiz to quiz, because the teacher just didn't like the way you were writing your name. It's gone.
Hey, if I can't tell who wrote it, then how do I know who to give the grade to?
No, I should put a heart instead of a dot for the I. He did minus one.
That's trite.
No hearts allowed.
Oh, good.
So, anything else you really want to say on this episode? I know we've already
we've said a lot about this episode already.
So, all right. Well, we'll be back next week with episode 8, What's for Dinner? Apparently better than this episode by 0.1. So,
Oh, we should plug some of our other shows. Dexter New Blood, for example.
Dexter New Blood, definitely check that out if you haven't already. There's
just throwing out random one.
Just a really random one. Bodies. If you want to see a really popular one that people really enjoyed. That's a very good drama, actually. What else we do? Shrinking, but it's not in the same vein as this. I would say it's more humor. Well, this has quite a bit of humor. Shrinking, though, I would definitely recommend.
I think Bodies is probably one of the best comps for this.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So I definitely. Yeah. If you enjoyed this, having seen other series, you'd like Bodies.
Maybe Mrs. Davis, but I think Bodies.
Yeah, Mrs. Davis might be a little too funny for you, but I'd still really, I would recommend Mrs. Davis to you.
Me too.
And then if you like the corporate gaslighting part of it, check out Chernobyl.
Seriously.
Check out Chernobyl.
No joke.
So yeah. And that's all I'll recommend to you listeners. So thank you. We'll be back next week. Also, in the meantime, you can subscribe. You can give us 5 stars. You can share the podcast. You can email us, showopperspodcast@gmail.com. And we will be back next week with the penultimate episode of Severance.
Shoehammer some showhoppers into your day.